This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic.
Yeah, we do.
My name is Elliot. Last time I checked, your name was Luke.
Oh, I've changed it.
No, no.
Nah, it's still me.
What have you done?
Luke. No, nothing. What have I done? No, it's still Luke. Hi, intimate. Hi. Again.
The best. It's the best kind of intimate between me and you.
I think it is. I feel
it just
natural.
Feels comfortable. Like, yeah. We've done it enough.
We
that
just fit well.
We have a gel.
All the pieces. Gel or lube?
We're like two blobs that just like just squish together.
Anthropomorphic. Yeah. Like Kirby's, like just like sucking each other in. What are we talking about today, Elias?
Yeah, so we're not talking about blobs for the rest of the show. We are, in fact, talking about loot boxes. So loot boxes are a thing in video games that we're probably all familiar with at this point. But in case you're not, they are just often microtransactions within a game that allows you to get access to cosmetic items or in-game upgrades or
yeah.
items or weapons or whatever they are, and you just purchase them through either in-game currency or out-of-game currency, real-world currency. And
yeah, so a lot of free-to-play games have this as part of their model, where you can buy extra loot crates or loot chests or loot boxes.
Or loot pinatas.
Yeah. They come in many forms. They're very creative now. Like, ooh, let's change it. And we can invest in these things to get items. Now, sometimes they're cosmetic things like costumes and stuff. Other times, they're things that genuinely impact the game and how you play. So, an example recently is Fortnite, where you can actually get survivors and weapons and things like that out of these loot pinatas. But then you've got the other side, like Overwatch, which is a game where you can only get cosmetic things that change the way your character looks, maybe, and stuff like that, but not really affecting the way the game plays.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're talking about this today is because Elliot got very pissy.
I had a little tantrum. Yeah,
a little tanty, manty, it's a man tantrum, online in an article on checkpointgaming.net where a single player full price game coming out later in the year, Shadow of War,
we did a whole intimate dedicated to our hype for this game.
So hyped. So
that's
so
the perspective hyped. This is coming from.
Yeah, so this is like the utter like disappointment of like, oh no. So Shadow of War is bringing in a marketplace with loot boxes.
Yep.
Or loot chests, or whatever they've chosen to go with. Now, what does that mean for Shadow of War, and why is this so shit?
So we talked a bit about it on the radio show, but ultimately, what it means for Shadow of War is that progression through the game will either be done organically, or you can buy these loot chests to speed that up. And what that means is you'll get weapons and armor out of loot chests, and they have war chests, which will give you orc followers. And all of these things have different rarities, so obviously you either have to play a lot to get the upper echelon of gear, or you buy these loot chests, and you'll on your first one, you may well get something fantastic.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem in a game like Shadow of War because, you know, when you're developing a game, you want progression to be this nice, steady bell curve that just slowly goes up, you know, as the game gets harder and you get slightly better and better gear as it goes along. But that is, like, that whole balance is totally thrown off by this randomized loot chest system.
Yeah.
Because you might get the best item right at the start of the game and all of a sudden everything's too easy. Like, how do you balance for that?
It does raise a lot of questions. Like, will they keep locked away high-level stuff until you've progressed to a certain point in the game, or will it all just be in the mix from the start?
Well, they specifically said, buying these loot chests are basically shortcuts to the kind of content you could otherwise get.
Right, because you can still get them by just playing the game, but it will take longer.
Absolutely. So you can buy these loot chests with in-game currency, but it'll take far longer than out-of-game currency.
I think that's where these developers kind of get away with it a little bit, because you don't have to buy them. They're saying you don't have to. Even with Fortnite, you don't have to buy these loot pinatas. You can just get them and earn them through day-to-day play.
Yeah.
But when so much of the game, it doesn't require the loot crates, but it requires some of the things that you can find inside those loot crates. So you do want them, and you do sit there thinking about it.
Fortnite's a really good example, because in order to progress in that game, you need these loot llamas in this case. I love llamas. But anyway, you need them in order to progress because straight up, like, your power is dictated by the kind of survivors you have, the kind of heroes you have, the kind of weapon schematics you have, and all of that. And the only way to get them is through these loot chests. So you can hit a wall, basically, where you're no longer able to progress until you get more and more llamas and hope for a good drop out of them.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where it's at. Like, that's how you progress in that game. And so for Fortnite, it was it reached a point, at least for me, where it was frustrating, the whole loot system, because even though, you know, it's fun to crack open a llama and see what you get, at some point it becomes really frustrating because it's like, well, the game now has balance issues because everything is randomized and you don't know what you're getting out of a pinata, and nor do the developers. So things just don't work the way they should in a really carefully curated game.
Yeah, so you're not getting what you need to progress, and you could potentially play for days not getting that, while somebody else could play it for one day and get exactly what you need instantly.
And the cynic in me is saying, well, that's deliberately designed because they want you to pay real money. Like, they want you to hit this wall. They want it to be a giant grind for you because they want to create this shortcut and get real money for it.
When you're getting, you know, essentially a couple of dollars per pinata that you're buying, or per loot crate that you're buying in these games, I mean, I know people that have spent hundreds of dollars on games like Overwatch even, which it all is just cosmetic, just to get good loot. And it's that kind of thing that ties into that. It's very satisfying getting a loot crate in these games because it's usually very shiny, and there's like an animation, and like it opens up and it has these noises that I swear, like, they must have done market research about, like, which noises, like, satisfy your brain the most and make you feel, like, loved or whatever, or make you feel warm and fuzzy, because all these friggin' loot crates that you open in these games, when you open them, oh, it feels good. Oh, it's so nice.
It's like a poking machine.
Yeah.
Like, and that just brings up this whole other side of this predatory kind of, like, loot chest system, in that they are really hoping that there are people with these addictive personalities who will grasp onto this and be like, yes, I need more loot, I need more loot. Keep opening. Like, I want to hear those bells and whistles and the flashing sounds and the lights and everything.
Do you think it's too far to compare it to gambling in that sense?
Because
you're paying money for a
similar
random win?
I think it's so similar that it almost needs to be looked at by the same kind of, like, agencies that look at gambling. And I know that that's so, I don't know, I probably sound like such a prude, but it's so similar, being somebody who's witnessed these systems over and over again. It's so similar that I can't see how they're not one of the same.
Yeah, I can see, like, as a player of all these games who loves his loot chests, loot crates, I can see what they're doing. I am fully aware. I've bought loot crates in these games, fully aware that I am just buying into this ridiculous fad, this trend, this gambling type thing. But I don't care. I guess it's kind of like, how much do you let it impact you? Because ultimately, you don't have to buy these things at all. You can just play the game and not, you can always act like they're not there. It's tricky when they're sort of highlighted on your screen in the shop every day. Yeah. Like, you can buy 10 for this price, and you're like, oh, I could. I could spend.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, $13 isn't that bad.
Yeah,
that's like two coffees in Melbourne. That's fine. Let's do it. And you sort of, before you know it, you're buying, like, you know, 10 of them a week, and then that builds up, and all of a sudden you've spent $50 a month, hundreds of dollars in a year, which is crazy. So I can see how it builds up and how people spend so much money on this stuff just to get a bit more progress and that feeling of that warm and fuzzy and that kind of that good feeling.
Yeah, and it's different from, like, a regular microtransaction in which you're paying for exactly what you know you're going to get.
Yeah.
So if you're playing, like, a free-to-play game like Dota or League, and you're buying a skin for a champion, that's just a straight-up purchase, right? It's like, yep, this skin is worth $5 to me, or $3 to me, or whatever.
I want it.
Let's do it. Let's make that transaction. But games with loot boxes, you're putting down money for something you may not even want.
You're hoping
you may
you
already
get it.
Have this item already.
Oh.
You're just like, you're just putting money towards what could be, and that's scary, maybe?
And that's where I think the system is flawed and needs tweaking in some cases. I mean, going back to Overwatch, because it's a recent large example that everyone sort of knows about with the loot crates in that game. If you get an item that you've already got, you just get some coins instead that you can use towards a purchase in the game sort of thing, which is okay. It's better than nothing. However, how frustrating is it when you have a game that literally has hundreds and hundreds, probably up to 1,000 now, of things you can get from these crates, and they are all cosmetic. So you're not getting a benefit in-game for any of these things. How frustrating to open a loot crate, especially if you've paid for it, getting 5 items, and three of them are just copies you've already got. So really, you're getting two new things.
That's the kind of thing that would make me fall to my knees and go, why?
I mean, couldn't they? Couldn't they at least be like, all right, we're going to give you guaranteed at least four new things. One of them might be a double up, but the other four are going to be new things. They might not be the best things or the top things, but they'll be things that aren't already in your collection.
If they were to do that, that would be a premium loot chest that would cost extra money.
Because then you're guaranteeing new stuff.
Yeah.
And you could theoretically buy a certain number of premium loot chests to guarantee yourself a complete collection. But that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah, but you're they're not going to do it, are they? Because why? That's just them losing money.
Because you're going to buy the risk.
The
and
fact
hope for the
is
best.
That these specifically free-to-play companies, they make their money off what they call whales, which are people who just put like thousands of dollars down onto this game. Because a lot of people do play free-to-play without ever dropping a cent. You know, I'm actually really good at not paying any money for free-to-play games because I have this mindset of like, like, I'm happy, I don't care about cosmetics, and if the game is so grindy that it forces me to pay for non-cosmetic items, then I'm just not interested in that game.
Yeah.
So I don't typically pay for cosmetics or any kind of microtransactions, but there are people out there who just spend thousands of dollars, and without those people, these companies aren't making the kind of money they really want.
So let's look at Shadow of War, because that was a game that you were super hyped about. So was I.
I'm still excited. I want to see it turns out.
Are you still going to buy it on day one, or is it to the point where you're like, you know what? I just don't know now. I feel icky. I feel like I'm going to wait and see how it pans out. Because what if your worst nightmares come true, and all these loot crates are basically paywalls, and you are going to need to invest more money in a game you're already buying for $80 to $100, depending on where you go, to then spend tens of twenties of thirties of dollars more just to get some more gear?
No, I will not be pre-ordering or buying at day one. I typically don't do that with games anyway. I'd like to see like reviews or at least hear word of mouth and see to make sure that it is a worthwhile purchase. It looks like it is, but yeah, worst case scenario, it could be this paywall situation where you're not progressing because you don't have the right loot, or it could be this absolute grind where you're just going through the same ambient quests over and over again, trying to get the loot you would otherwise get from loot chests. And so if either of those two things happen, that's a massive black mark on that game, and it could go from like game of the year to this thing that you're just never going to pick up again because it's just that frustrating.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think it ties in with a lot of these games also have founders packs and founders bonuses and things like that.
I'm sure you'll get some loot chests for pre-ordering the game as
well. Yeah, if you pre-order, you'll probably get 10 free loot chests. If you buy the special edition, it'll probably come with some extra loot chests.
You log in every day, you'll get a free loot chest.
Oh, the daily login. Yeah, and that's an annoying one too. I mean, I actually literally, at the moment, because I'm a weirdo, have got my partner, Matt, to log in to Fortnite when I'm not home to cash in on my research points that accrue over time. He's doing that for me because it's giving that daily login that I need, and I can't always do it because I'm really busy. I'm not home all the time, but I want those points. So these games, they do that. They make you log in every day, and usually when you log in, you think, oh, I'll play it for a bit.
They're gaming the gamer is what they're doing. They're finding systems to work you when you should be working them. You should be playing their game, but they're playing yours, and it's frustrating to be played.
It's so interesting, isn't it? I think it's going to keep happening because, I mean, Shadow of War is a single-player game primarily.
Oh, and it'll be successful. That's the problem. Like, people will see this news and it won't impact their decision to purchase.
Despite your scathing article.
Oh, yeah. I'm not here claiming that I have this massive influence and everyone's going to all of a sudden change their minds.
Two people might not buy it now.
Of course not. But, like, yeah, so you pay with, like, you vote with your wallet, basically, and they're going to see this and they're going to say it works.
Yeah.
Like, so why wouldn't every other game going from here on out use loot chests? Because this game worked.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a proven theory.
Yeah.
I think if you attach a loot chest system to any AAA game that has a following, especially a sequel, so it's a proven IP and a proven success, people are going to buy it. Yeah. If they put that into a Call of Duty, if they put it into a FIFA, you know, if they put these, you know, players can come out of it or something, you know, who
imagine
knows?
If like whole teams were unlocked by loot chests in FIFA.
Oh my God.
Like, this is where things feel like they're going, honestly.
This is really sad, but I would buy WWE 2K loot crates to get like gear and wrestlers and stuff.
Yeah.
In a second. I would.
And that's a problem because
it wouldn't be a thought.
Previous to loot chests, you just have that content, right?
You buy the game, you get the game.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, before this, the internet
back
world.
Back in my day.
back when I was a young whippersnapper playing on my Nintendo 64, we just had a cartridge and that was it. Now games have, it's kind of like downloadable content and stuff. Mm. You know, this world that we're in now where we've changed how we digest and how we purchase video games.
Mm.
And this loot crate stuff is going to just make it even more muddy. The waters are going to be very muddy, very confusing. Where's your money going? What are you spending it on? Yeah, it's tough. And I think it's only going to get worse, unfortunately, and worse for the consumer more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I hate the slippery slope argument in most contexts, but I think definitely in this. Like, first you saw it in free-to-play games, then you saw it in just multiplayer full-price games. Now it's coming into single-player full-price games, and I don't see why every game won't do this in the future.
Yeah, like, it is problematic.
It was like there was this step where games just, all games got RPG mechanics because it kept people coming back, like, wanting to level up. Now every game's going to have loot boxes.
Yeah, and that's not a world I want to be in. That's not a gaming world I want to be in.
No, because we want diversity. We want different games to be different things. Like, I'm okay with some free-to-play games doing loot chests, but I don't want every game to do it. Like, come on.
Can you imagine if, like, chapters of games and missions
unlockable by a loot
loot crates.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That could happen, though. We should market this. We'll make some money.
Yeah, we'll be those guys. Anyway,
we'll be those guys.
It's time we wrap up. You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates, yes. Where we've been talking about loot crates.
If it's not on, it's not on.
Exactly.
Wrap it up. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.